Welcome aboard the Story Ark. I'm your captain, Kenny Mears, and let's take a voyage together.
Many of us feel out of place or different as we grow up. Whether it's because we come from different backgrounds, are a little awkward, or a thousand other reasons, it can be hard to fit in. Today's storyteller, Rhonda Honey Duval, knows this more than most due to her unique background of both Native American and African American ancestry. Here is her story.
Yat e she e honey yin she khatna zani e nishle na hitli e bashish chin ma idish gish ni dash che shama e Katie mini cows lee hulia doshije e Samson Lee. Hello to all of my distant relatives. My name is Honey, or it is Rhonda. Either way, it's interchangeable, and I just want to address that. For those of you that were not capable of understanding what it is that I said, I am speaking my native language, and I speak Navajo, not fluently, but enough to get me by to let you know who I am, what it is that my purpose is here on Earth, but also that I can incorporate who my family is and where I come from. So in that sense, I just stated hello to my distant relatives, each and every one of you. My name is Honey or Rhonda. I am born for the Tengo relatives, my Tengo clan, and I am also half African American, but I'm also representing Coyote Pass clan. So in that way, I'm acknowledging myself as a Diné, which is Navajo, a Diné Nahitli individual. So what that means is that I'm representing myself as a Navajo, half African American woman here in our community. The story that I'd like to share with each and every one of you is a personal story that I have experienced. And the personal story that I love to share is one that details the differences in the background that I am sharing with the world, but also the kindness that comes with each and every experience that I kind of run into here in my life. So a long, long time ago, not too long ago, but I'd say about 10, maybe 15, maybe even 20 years ago, when I was in junior high, I got in a lot of trouble when I was in the school system here in Utah. And here in Utah, there is a little bit of a difference when it comes to understanding, because I came from a location that's a little more distant as well as distinct. The Navajo Reservation down in Blue Gap, Arizona, that's where I'm originally from. Coming here to Utah was a little bit of a rocky road for me because I didn't really fit in where I thought that I would fit in. So being multi-ethnic, I don't necessarily fit in, or didn't. Still to this day, it's not always the same. I didn't fit in with my native relatives when I was in school, but I also didn't fit in with my African American relatives, my descendants. I didn't fit in all locations. So what I was experiencing now as an adult, I really understand it as a little bit of racism. And I've been able to kind of grow through that as I continue on with my journey. But as I was continuing through school, as I was trying to find my place with the people that I could kind of fit in here and there, I started to realize that it was our Hispanic relatives that I was able to connect a lot more easier with. Now, through all of that process, learning as well as growth as well as experience is what we're all on the same journey for. So during that time, I was definitely in the experience part of my journey. Through that experience part of the journey, I was able to get my hands and my feet wet into different things that were probably not good for me. And that's the whole point of experience, is just going out there and doing what you can to know what is right, but also what is not right. Through my process, I got in a lot of trouble, and I was eventually expelled from all schools in Utah. With that, I had to figure out a way in which I could continue my education, but also find a way in which I could rehabilitate myself through that process. And I'm very thankful that I had my family there with me. So as I was continuing to experience and get through that part of my life, my parents started to see, hey, maybe homeschooling is a little bit better. Let's see how it is that we can incorporate that. And that's something that I did succeed through, which is really nice. But I was still not able to continue schooling through the schools here in Utah. So what that meant for me is that I had to go back to the reservation, and I had to find a way in which I could continue my education outside of the schools in Utah. For those of you that are not too familiar, Blue Gap, Arizona is a location in which it's very scarce. So there's not There's not a grocery store for miles and miles. There's not a gas station for a very long ways. My family owns the land at which we live upon, and that land is very, very far. And there's a reason and a purpose for all of that, in which we will not go into detail currently. But just know that the location at which I was eventually going towards was a location that was very, very far and very, very distinct. It did take, I'd say, an hour and a half to get to the school that was the closest area to the place that I was living, which is Blue Gap. And I remember that as I was trying to experience this different part of what I was learning, it was really complicated. So having to live on the reservation with my grandparents, my mother had just dropped me off and said, you're going to go to school here. We're registering you here. We're going to test the waters and see how everything is. I know that it's very different, but with differences, but also experiences, you'll learn some of the instances of what is right, but also what is wrong. And that I can experience a different culture, but also a different background that I haven't experienced previous to that. So I did go to school down on the reservation. The school that I was going to is back, I'd say, in Pinon, Arizona, which is, I'd say, a 30 to 45 minute drive from where I was staying. The location at which I was staying, I was with my grandparents, and they did not speak English, but also I wasn't fluent in my native language, which was a very big disparity. I wasn't able to connect properly, but I was also not able to communicate properly. So there was a lot of assumptions. There was a lot of guessing, a lot of hand movements, hand gestures, some here's and there's, but not too much of any communication at all. So my mother enrolled me in Pinon, I'd say at the time it was junior high, and I think now it's high school. Pinon Junior High. That location was a school where majority of the people that went there were of that background. And when I say that, I mean that all of the Navajos were there. All of the Diné students were there at that school. And I just happened to be multi-ethnic, which didn't work out for me very well. So the first, I'd say the first few days, I connected with one individual only because that person was my relative, and she was able to kind of establish me with her group of friends, with some of the people that she knew, and even those group of friends weren't really familiar with me, so in that same sense, they didn't appreciate or understand who I was or where I was coming from. As I continue on through the weeks, I started to learn different people, different ways in which we moved within the school, but also I learned that even more racism kind of followed me with that. So one time in particular that I can remember is I was on the playground, and yes, there was a playground in junior high. I was at the playground and I was hanging out with all of my friends, and there was a guy that was there that was super rude to me. He was just so rude, would always make sly comments about, you're not Navajo enough, or you're not Native enough, or you don't speak the language, so you're not Navajo. Just all sorts of derogatory things. But I never really let it get to me too much, because I knew exactly who I was. I knew that I was multi-ethnic, but I also knew that there was nothing that I could do about what it is that bothered him. So I just continued on. The schooling that I was experiencing at the time, it was more detailed into the arts as well as the crafting, the hands-on activities. So we would continue on through our schooling, but also continue on trying to build those relationships. And over time, some of the students begin to call me Snickers. Now, at the time, I didn't really think about it and didn't think about how hurtful that was. But now as an adult, I really get it. At the time, I ate a lot of Snickers, but also the color of Snickers, a Snickers bar. I didn't realize that that was kind of referenced to my skin color. Didn't catch that until I was an adult, but also the actual term Snickers. I didn't really catch that until I was an adult. And now I understand it, that they were being very racist as well as derogatory. And they would find different ways to acknowledge my differences, my background, for that matter, through the different things that I would eat, through the different things that I would bring to school. And as an adult now I get it. I totally understand why it is that they called me those names, or, you know, would give me a Snickers every day or whatnot. I get it now. So as I continue on through the school, there was a point in time when one of the teachers had said, hey, we're going to take a field trip, and it's going to be a field trip where you're going to leave home for about anywhere from 3 days to a week. There's going to be a chaperone. And it just so happened to be that my bus driver was our chaperone. And then it was a whole group of kids. So all of the kids that I was going to school with at that time, we were all going to take this field trip collectively to Flagstaff, Arizona. Such a long drive, very, very long, very hot. I don't know if you guys are very familiar with it, but Arizona is so hot in the summertime. And not always do we have the grace of air conditioning or working windows or anything like that, especially being on the reservation at that time. We didn't have running water. We didn't have electricity or anything like that. So you can just imagine how hot it was, something that we were very used to. So it didn't really matter to us. Now, when we got that conversation that we were going to take a trip, I had to take the permission slip home and I had to get my grandparents to sign the permission slip. My grandparents were not, what's the correct term? They were not, they did not read, but they also did not write. So it was really complicated for them to understand what it was that I was going to experience, but also that they could offer that grace with the signature that says, you're more than welcome to go. So what I did was I just gave a little bit of some hand gestures and said, this is something that I'd like to do, hoping that they would understand. And I just pointed at the paper where the X was with my finger and said, sign, sign. And I would put my hand in the air and gesture that I would need a signature. So without my grandparents really having too much detail, they signed the paper. It was scribbles at the time because, again, they weren't familiar with the English language or signatures or anything like that. So in that reference, I was able to go on this field trip. The field trip was very, very long, very hot. Lots of kids in the bus. You can only imagine everybody screaming, everybody excited, everybody having fun, except for myself, because I was excluded from all of that connection, all of that collaboration, that fun, that excitement. I wasn't a part of that because I was so different. So as we get on the road and we're continuing on our journey, we finally make it to our destination, which is Flagstaff. And I have major asthma. I have chronic asthma. So the air quality for me there, it was so hot that I could not breathe. The only place that I could really have a good breath of fresh air was when we were in the swimming pool. So I had all costs, I tried my best to just stay in the swimming pool as much as possible. And that was very helpful for me. As we were continuing on through the different days where we were experiencing all sorts of different places that we could go, that we could enjoy, that we could attend, I started to build relationships here and there with some of the people that gained comfortability with my presence and vice versa. With building those relationships, they got to know me a lot more and got to know that I wasn't such a horrible individual, that there was actually a little bit of context that came with the person that I am and the way that I hold myself and the journey that I'm on, that I was able to share those instances. I did make a few good friends at that time, my cousin being one of them. I really appreciated that she was able to connect me with different people in the right way. But we ended up in the mall at one of the days in which we were getting ourselves around. And some of the girls really seemed to appreciate the kind of person that I was. And they started to hang around me a lot more. And some of the boys got more comfortable. I think we just kind of needed to be away from what we're most comfortable and what we're used to and the places and the people that kind of shape the people that we are, but also the way in which we react and interact with other people. I think being away from that really helped myself out, but also the other students out, that we could really see that there are different people out there and there are different locations and there are different beliefs and the different ways that we talk. So as we were going through the mall and I'm building these relationships, the boys started to get more comfortable. The girls were getting more comfortable. We started to really interact with each other. We were laughing, we were joking, but there was still one person that was just not having it. And it was the same person that was saying, you're not native enough, you're not Navajo enough, you don't speak the language or anything like that. That one person just made it so complicated to connect with, but also made it very complicated for me to feel comfortable and to want to go out and establish a relationship or even communication. But on the very last day, when we were there at the hotel. After we've gone through all the fun things, all of the fun places, we went out and spent all of our money. There was this one experience that I will never, never forget. We were at the hotel and we decided that we were going to go into the swimming pool. All of us decided we were all going into the swimming pool. And I just so happened to stay at the corner of the swimming pool. I still wasn't very comfortable because that boy was in the swimming pool. So I'm like, not too sure. But something had happened in the swimming pool that really had me appreciate being protected by Creator, but also having Creator really put into place what it is that I needed to see so that I can go ahead and give a taste of their own medicine back to them. So as I'm sitting in the corner in the swimming pool and I'm just being observant, by the way, I'm a very observant person. I love just sitting there and people watching. And that's exactly what I was doing. I was just watching and I was looking around, seeing all the kids having fun. Everybody's laughing. And I seen somebody swimming with their face in and out of the water. Their hands are wailing outside of the water, in the water, outside of the water, in the water. And somebody had been trailing right behind this person. And they weren't swimming with their hands welling out. They were swimming underwater. So you couldn't see their hands, their feet, or anything like that. And something had happened. And I wasn't sure exactly what, but that second person had got up instantly. And there was blood in the pool, not too much blood. There was a little bit of blood in the pool, which made all of us have to get out of the pool. And that was the end of our swimming trip for that moment. So the next day we had to leave, and on the bus, all of us again, all having a jolly old time. But that boy that gave me a really hard time as I first started with the school and then through the trip and then through just the feeling of not feeling involved or included, this boy was sitting behind me, maybe a few chairs back, and I had just started to get into the conversations, the fun. I was starting to be included. So this was my perfect prime opportunity to kind of catch him in his own funk. So I noticed right in the middle of his eyes, right where his eyebrows kind of detach from each other, this boy had a really bad scrape on his face. And I kept looking at it, of course, because you look, you wonder, you don't want to ask the question until you kind of have a little bit of a preface. But I looked, I stared, and I stared some more. And I just kind of wondered in my brain, and maybe he was reading my mind, but in my brain, I just said, I wonder what happened. I wonder how he got that. I wonder if, like, that's just the oddest place to have one really big scrape, one really big scab, scrape, whatever you call it, scratch. Just the oddest place to have that hurt or that pain. So I must have been staring pretty hard. I definitely feel that I was. And he looked at me and said, "What?" And I said, "I don't know. I don't know." And he says, "Why are you staring at me?" And I said, "There's just something about you." And he says, "What?" I said, "Are you prepared for me to tell you?" And he says, "It doesn't matter." And I said, "Okay, what is that thing in the middle of your forehead? Like, what is that? What happened? Your eyebrows, you were fine when we came here. And now you've got this big hole on your face and it looks fresh. What happened?" And his face turned bright red. He turned bright red and he looked away and he got very, very ashamed that I even brought that to our attention. And I must have said it loud enough because all of the kids then turned to him and looked at his face and it was right in the middle of his forehead. And he got very embarrassed and he ended up getting up and going to the back of the bus. And I still was very confused. I didn't know what happened. So the guy that was sitting next to him was the guy that was in front of him in the swimming pool that was swimming, wailing his hands in the air, in the pool, out of the pool, in the pool, out of the pool. And he just so happened to laugh and giggle and say, "Well, as I was swimming and he was right behind me, my toenail totally scraped his face." And everybody in the bus started laughing. And I started laughing also. I thought that it was hilarious, definitely disgusting and full of bacteria. I just couldn't stop thinking about all the germs that came with that. But I couldn't stop thinking also about how long that toenail was. So of course, I'm like, Can we see it? Can we see that toenail? So he took a shoe off, took a sock off, and he had a super long toenail. Very, very, I have never seen toenails that long on a man ever. Never, never. He has definitely, he's just been keeping that toenail growing for many, many months, and it looked dirty and yellow and gross. So in my brain, I'm like, oh man, that's disgusting. And so ever since that moment, I would constantly just kind of bring that up. Whenever that boy was being really rude to me, I would always say, don't forget, you are the one that has bacteria all over your face from somebody else's toenail. That's how unsafe and unsanitary. And since then, he's been very nice to me. So the moral of that story is, do not be mean to people. Do not speak meanly to anybody just because they are different, just because their skin is different, just because they don't speak the same language as you. Creator will always find a way to just bring it on back, to make it a full circle, whether it is that you're being kind or not being kind. In this instance, this guy was not being kind. So Creator, by the grace of Creator, Creator gave me my ammunition. Creator provided me with an experience that I will never, ever forget. I'm an adult now. And that was more than 15 years ago. So now that I think about that, I always think about the experience that I was going through. The color of my skin was very different from everybody else. The way that I grew up was very different from everybody else. And I was like, an alien in a location that I felt was so comfortable and was home to me. And also what that did for me is helped me understand that even though I fell from a different tree that is very different from everybody else, I still have the same kind of sense of humor that I can laugh at something like that, just like everybody else. And we can all kind of connect through an experience like that. So since then, that boy and I, we have just became a little bit, in keyword, there was a little bit more close. A little bit more close. We were able to establish building some kind of a relationship that we could joke with each other, that we could really break down that barrier. So that is my story within its story, and also my presence within a location that I felt was home, but maybe wasn't so dear to home, based on who I was around and the experiences. So my message for all of that is just to be kind. Be kind to your relatives, whether you know them or whether you don't. Somebody is always experiencing their own battle, their own trials, their own tribulations, their own experience that might not be easy. So just be kind. Just be understanding. Be open to differences, but also be open to different ways in which we live. And go about the way that you can with your own self. Go about it in a positive way. Go out and be the person that is acknowledging people right off the bat. Be the person that goes out there and shakes people's hands before anybody else. Be the person that goes out there and tries to get to know somebody that has not even had the opportunity to express themselves in the proper way. Be a good relative is my key word there. Whether it be our native relatives or our non-native relatives, whether it be our native relatives or our non-native relatives, that you can go out there and be exactly that, a good relative. Again, my name is Honey, Rhonda, however it is that you understand it, feel it, see it, and I am very thankful that I can be here today to share my story with you. Though it was not a fairy tale, though it was not a magical experience, it is something that I can grow from, but also continue on my journey to rebring it to the surface, to rebring that funniness, that excitement back, and that memory, and that I can grow from that, but also that I can also be a good relative and really learn from that experience. And I do hope that that individual that I struggled with really learned from that moment, really learned to be a good relative, but also somebody that can be compassionate at all times, and also understand that Creator works in mysterious ways. And whether it is that we are kind or not kind, just know that it will come back, however it is that it makes it back to home base.
The Story Arc is a production of Food for Thought Audio. This episode was written, produced, and edited by me, Kenny Mears. We'd like to thank today's storyteller, Rhonda Honey Duval. Be sure to check her out on Instagram at Voice of Honey. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, YouTube, or Instagram, or wherever you listen to podcasts for more content. And until next time, thanks for listening.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.